So if you can open up to Daf Gimel Amud Beis, let's just review what we, you know, what we've spoken about in the past. Let's say on Wednesday and Thursday we tried to explain the Kal Vachomer of Rabbi Chiya to establish that the Shvua Doraisa of Modu Mixas applies even in the case of Kofar HaKol with Ha'adas Edim. So he denied the entire claim. The witnesses testified that 50% he owes, and he has to take a shvua on the other 50% because ha'adas edim is greater than hodas piv. So if hodas piv could be machayef him a shvua on the other 50, how much more so could edus be machayef him a shvua on the other 50? And the Gemara rejects this based on a number of different pirchos. The last pircha that we have in this Kal Vachomer was from the case of Chomesh, and the halacha is that if, let's say, a person denies a claim in a monetary case and then he takes a shvua to the effect that he doesn't owe the money, he was kofer b'mamon v'nishba l'sheker, he admits later on that he took a shvua sheker, then in such a case there's the parsha of Karban Asham. Now that parsha of Karban Asham has a number of different parts to it, one of which is that in addition to having to pay the money that he admits he owes, he also has to add another 20% on top. That's called a chomesh. And this would not apply in a case where two witnesses testified that he took this false oath. Because if we establish that he took the false oath on the basis of testimony, he would not pay the extra tashlim of a chomesh. He doesn't have to add 20% on top. And he's only chayev in the chomesh if and when he admits to the fact that he took a false oath. So you see that hodas piv is even greater than edus. Hodas piv has the power to be mechayev a chomesh on top of the keren, whereas hodas edim does not have the power to be mechayev him a chomesh. So the Gemara then rejects that pircha, and the Gemara says that Rabbi Chiya holds like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that whatever is true in the case of Hodas Piv, how much more so it's true in the case of Ha'odas Eden. And if he pays Chomesh based on his own confession, his own admission, then how much more so will he be paying the Chomesh if two witnesses testify to the effect that he violated the shvuas, he took a shvuas sheker, and he would have to pay a chomesh. So, once again, and this is not the first time, the Gemara connects Rabbi Chiya with the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Let's just very quickly go over the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir has a kal vachomer. Whenever a person is believed with hodas piv, how much more so will he be believed in the case, I shouldn't say believed, because that's not a good word here. Chayev. But if he's chayev through hodas piv, how much more so will he be chayev through hodas edim, based on the kal vachomer from Misa. So let's say a person would confess having violated a criminal, a capital crime, he would not be chayev Misa. However, if two witnesses testified against him that he violated a capital crime, he's put to death. So you see that Ha'adas Edim is greater than Piv. And that's Rabbi Meir Shita Umetum. Whether in the case of Karban Chatos, in the case of Karban Asham, in the case of Chomesh, straight across the board. Rabbi Chiya therefore holds that there's no exception to the following rule. Ha'adas Edim is always greater than Piv. We saw it in the case of Knas. You remember that was the original case? So a man confesses that he stole a cow, he doesn't have to pay two cows, he doesn't have to pay the kefel, because the Torah says, Asher Yashin Elohim Prat L'Mashias Atzmo, the Modu B'Knas is Potur. Edim that testified against him that he stole someone's cow, he's therefore chayv to pay the additional cow. So we see that Ha'adas Edim is even greater than Odas Piv in the case of Knas. That becomes the foundation of Rabbi Chiya's Shita of the Kal Vachomer, that whenever you chayv for Hodas Piv, you certainly chayev through Hodas Edim. Hence, in the case of Modu Mixas, you'll have to take a Shvua. And if you have any Pircha on that Kal Vachomer, we're always going to invoke the principle that Rabbi Chiya holds like Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir always says, without any exception, that whenever you chayev in Piv, you're certainly going to be chayiv through ha'odas
eid. In terms of chayiv, is the underlying concept here that eid are more believable than a person?
Not really. It's not so much a question of believability. It's, for example,
just chayuvim, any chayuvim.
Yeah, okay. It's hard to say that when a person says that he committed a crime, or let's say, for example, he stole someone's para, that we don't believe him. I mean, generally speaking, ha'odas piv is kemeya eidim dami. But there are certain technical reasons why piv might be limited, like in the case of knas, because
from engendering a chiv.
From engendering a chiv, correct. And in those cases, eidim will be machayev. So certainly in the case where piv is machayev, says Rav Chiya, eidim will be machayev, and that's going to be the shvuah of modur mitz. So this takes us up to today. So today we're on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and we're looking at the Gemara, which is approximately, shall we say, let's see, how many lines up from the Gemara? Maybe it's from the bottom of Gimel and Beis, we're about 10 lines up. Hakoshav Azom. Yamalapiv. This is the next pircha that's going to create that's going to undermine the logic and the kavachomer of Rabbi Chiya. Malapiv. Shekein Eno Bakoshav Azom. Do we have it? Where's John? He came in and then he went out. I don't want him to miss this, because this is where we're really, this is where we're really starting. You know. No, maybe he has to take a break for some reason. But
he's sitting on the Xerox machine. You want me to ask him to come?
Because he already photocopied these pages. Maybe, yeah.
Rabbi wants to know what you're saying.
Do you want me to close this door?
Yeah, that'd be great. Because we never know, you know, who's gonna show up. Okay, this is good.
After tomorrow, I'm not going to be here for the rest of the week.
Oh, really? Is everything okay?
Yeah. Going away. Going away a little.
But next, so you'll be in Chutzlarts, or
no? Next week we're going to Chutzlarts.
Oh my goodness! So is anything in between the 2 weeks that you'll be here? Or
A couple of days.
So we won't see you tomorrow.
You will see me tomorrow.
Tomorrow, but we won't see you Tuesday
for the rest of the week.
And then
after that, Sunday, and I think Sunday and Monday. Yes, and then a month.
A month. Wow, that's it.
It's LightTorah.org, we hope.
Okay. Is this trip being sponsored by the AACI? No, I always laugh at what I find very paradoxical, that the AACI sponsors these trips to Chutzlars. I mean, this supposed to be an organization that encourages Aliyah. You know, they send you to the fjords in Norway and all over the glaciers in Alaska.
Yeah, it's just a family visit.
So fun, and so on. Do me just one last favor, John, if you could open up to the right page here, because I don't know the pages here. Okay. All right.
What page is it?
Ella Malapiv.
Reish Yud Dalet.
Shekein Eino Bachosha Ubahazom. We're going to find a weak link in the Kamachomer, because Piv has a tremendous power. And this really touches on your question, Sam, about the credibility of Piv. It's so credible and so believable and so reliable that nothing whatsoever could undermine the credibility of Hodas Piv. Again, we always have to understand within a halachic framework, you know, the mechanics of it. But let's say, for example, a person be moder that he owes $1,000. You know, he borrowed $1,000 from his friend. Now, two eidim come in and say, well, at the time that you claim that you borrowed the money, you know, on the corner of 9th and 5th Avenue, well, guess what? You were with us elsewhere, on the other side of the earth. So it's impossible that you would have borrowed that money at that time. The Avis is completely discounted, disqualified.
This is Avis that he borrowed?
No, the Avis is that he did not borrow. So you have a very interesting hakosh in which he himself admits that he borrowed the money and he owes him the money. The Edom deny it. The Edom say it couldn't have been. Why? Because at that time that you claim you borrowed it, you were with us elsewhere. That would normally be called hazama. You remember? Imanu Ayisa.
But he's claiming that he borrowed.
But again, to borrow money, you have to stand in front of a person and borrow the money. Well, but when did it happen?
What is he's trying to be mechayev? He's not being mechayev anybody anything.
But and the Edom say that you're not chayev. So who wins out in such a case? There's an absolute collision between his hodas piv and that kasha that comes from two Edom. And the answer is we don't care about the Edom. The Edom are completely irrelevant. Why? Because hodas piv is so reliable that he has the power to be believed. And if he tells you a story about halva that took place, even though we know that that story couldn't have been true because of the Edus, but no, we say it's a true story, and he's chayv to pay.
He's not insisting to pay. He says, I want to know the halacha. I know I borrowed. If halachically I'm not supposed to pay, because they don't say no.
Right.
He's not saying, I'm going to pay. If he wants the money, right, stop him from paying.
Right. If he wants to give a gift, he can give a gift. No one can stop him. But he's saying, based on the halacha, I admit that I have to pay back. And the
Edom... Correct.
If the Edom would be believed, then he would not have to pay. But the law is that we're going to force him to pay. And let's say, for example, tomorrow he comes back into base and he says, you know, the whole thing was a joke. I was just kidding. Right. We don't believe him. He can't say Meshat Anibach. Why? Because Hodas Baldin is such a powerful Mechayev that Chiyuv is cannot be shot down, neither by himself nor by two Einim.
And you don't
want to
call it evidence. You want to call it Mechayev.
Yeah, I want to use that word mechayev because again, in Hilchus evidence, I would say that the evidence is that that halva never took place. Again, could it be that another halva took place? Possibly. But it doesn't matter. That's the power of Hodas Piv. In fact, I don't want to get off on a tangent now because we're going to have to get into this later. The Ketzos HaChoshen is famous for saying that Hodas Piv works midin neder. It's like creating a brand new Isur, a brand new Chiyuv that didn't exist in the past. But one thing we see about the power in Dine Mavinus of Hodas Piv, it's like the ultimate power. It's like omnipotent. You know, even two Edom or 1,000 Edom that contradict him and say that halva could not have possibly taken place, he would still have to pay. And therefore, it makes sense, that's what the Gemara is going to try to shlug up Rav Chiya, to say that Hodas Piv would be Mechayev Shmua. Because we see to what extent the Torah gives credence or power and authority to Hodas Piv, it could be Mechayev Shvuah. So he admits that he owes 50, he has to take a Shvuah on the other 50. Tomar, but what are you going to tell me in Edom? Edom are very vulnerable. They could be easily shot down and disqualified. How? Sheyeshna Bakhosh Bazoma. Again, it's going to be a long discussion here. We'll get into Bli Neder about Hakosh, but let's take the case of Azoma. That's a simpler case. Could be the Hakosh, according to somebody showing him here, is Lav Dafka. It's just schlepped along. But in the case of Azoma, the Torah says to believe the second pair of Edom, the Mazimim, that Imanu Ayisim, and therefore we shoot down the original Edus. Again, forget about Kasher Zomim and the punishment that they... But the Edus itself is no longer valid. We don't rely on the Edom because two other Edom were mazim them. That would not be the case in Hodas Piv. So let me just mention to you a note here in the name of the Rashba. The Rashba says the following. That in this whole sugya, this pircha of Malu Piv Shekein Einer Bakosh of Azoma, we're talking about a case, he says, Shabal Din Chozer Bo Mi Hodaso. He rescinds his original Hodah, or he contradicts his original Hodah. The Omar, now he comes into Bez, and he says, Nizkarti, I remember She'eni Chayavlo, that I really don't have to pay him. Is Afal Pichain, says the Rashba, Chayav Al Pi Hodaso HaRishono. He still has to pay based on his first Hodah, his original Hodah. So imagine the following scenario. He comes in on a Sunday, he's Moder. Two Edom come in on Monday and say it couldn't have been. On Tuesday, he comes back into Bez and he says, oh, I made a mistake, and the whole thing was a fluke. Nizkarti Sheni Chayav Lo. And in such a case, he's Chayav to pay. Even though he's not being Omed on his Hodah. You know, he's not continuing in insisting on his original position. He's trying to contradict himself by saying, I made a mistake. Because, says the Rashba, he argues against the other position. He says, if you would insist that he is allowed, or I don't know, the word allowed is not so appropriate. If the case in our Mishnah, I'm sorry, in our sugya would be that he still insists that he's chayav, he says, again, this is the Rashba, very much similar to what I said before, the name of the Ktzos, is Vadei Sheyochel Loseis Matana L'Chavero V'Ein Zu Raya Shekoach Piv Odif. In other words, if he insists that what he said before was true, even though the Edom say that it's not true, that could be viewed as a matana. Mm-hmm. In other words, we're going to say that he has a koch to be mischayev in a matana, he can be mischayev in a matana, and it becomes chayev. No, the case is where he's not being mischayev matana, he's now changing his tune, and he's denying what he originally said.
Right.
And yet the koch of his original hodah is such that he's chayev. That's the special unique koach of a hodas paldin, of piv, such that even if he's chozer bo, nevertheless he's still chayev, and therefore he could be mechayev shvuah, has nothing to do with edus, because edim can be completely undermined. Now, in the footnote here, in Masifta, he quotes the Shita Megubetzes in the name of the Rashbates, and he says the following. Medubar kan in our sugi, we're talking about a case of Baldin Adayin Omed Bidiburo Shuchayv, against the Rashba. We're talking about a case where he still insists that he's Chayv. If so, maybe you'll say this has nothing to do with Hodas Piv. It has to do with the fact that despite the fact that we don't believe him, there's no real power of Hodas Piv, but maybe it's a din of Matana, maybe he's just giving a gift out of his pocket. So the Rashbates writes the following. He says, "Yesh nafgemina b'mikre sheruven hoda shachefetz." Excuse me, shachefetz ploni. Ruven points to an object, and he admits that this object belongs to Shimon. The Edom testify. Again, you have to know the details exactly how they know this, but they testify. No, this object belongs to Ruven. Reuven just admitted that it doesn't belong to him, belongs to Shimon, and the Edom contradict him. The Acharkach Nasan Reuven es kol nechosav v'matana l'Levi. He stands up and he gives all his possessions as a gift to Levi. Hine l'fi hoda aso tzorech lahotzi es achefet shahodalo. Notice initially there was that one object. We'll exit with a red line, right? A red X. Which he admitted that it belongs to Shimon. And therefore, Lefio de Oso, you have to take that object out of Miyad Levi, Hamakabal Maton of Alitno Shimon. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I missed one point there, my mistake. So again, Reuven on Sunday admits that this object belongs to Shimon. Okay? Then the Edom testify, no, it belongs to Reuven. That was on Monday. On Tuesday, Reuven stands up and he gives all his nechasim to whom? To Levi, to a third party.
Or he gives the chefetz to Levi.
Well, again, we want to know what's included in this obligation.
He gives the chefetz to Levi. So say, this is yours. He may have no right.
Okay. To okay. But you're right. But even before that, let's take a simpler case. He writes a document, right, and he. And he makes a statement, you know, he makes a legal statement, and he gives all his nechasim as a gift to Levi. Oh, would this particular object that we exed, would that be included in that gift?
No.
Not, why? Because since according to his hodah, that chefetz is not his, meaning it's not Reuven's to give away, it belongs to Shimon, is therefore, that has to be taken away from literal, if you want to say literally, the hands of Levi, meaning if Levi takes all the nechasim of Reuven, he can't take that piece of property, because that belongs to whom?
Shimon.
To Shimon. Now, according to the Edom, this object always belonged to Reuven, and therefore it was included in the matana, the all-inclusive matana, which he gave to Levi. So what's going to be here? You're going to say the Rashba. What's the Rashba? The Rashba says, well, you know, Das Baldin in this case that he insists on sustaining or maintaining his original hodah, that's nothing more than a matana. Well, I have news for you, says the Rashbates. No. It's not working me din matana. It's working me din edus, so to speak. In other words, there's evidence that this object, according to Reuven's hodah, I mean, based on Reuven's hodah, does not belong to Reuven, but belongs to Shimon. If on the one hand you're going to say that Shabiyado losais matana l'mishi yirtze, that's the logic of the Rashba, harei b'chol ofen ha-chefetz kvar eno shalo. In other words, on Tuesday, when he again reiterates his hodah, says the Rashba, that's a matana, that can't be operative. Why? Because on Monday, when the Edom came in, we already established that it doesn't, that it belongs to Reuven, correct? It belongs to Reuven. Just that on Tuesday, when Reuven reiterates his hodah that this object belongs to Shimon, he's giving him as a matana. The problem is that
Beni matana already on Sunday.
In other words, it works like this:
the first time he says it
before the Edom came in, that's evidence.
Oh, you know, it doesn't mean that it's a matana. Just when he insists,
right? He says, "I know that this object belongs to Shimon. It's not mine. I can identify it, and I know it belongs to Shimon." Now the Edom come in and testify that no, it belongs to Reuven. At that point, says the Rashba, if he insists again on reiterating, he's giving it away as a matana.
Because he insists.
Oh, but how can he give it away as a matana if he already gave it to Levi? You know, if in the interim, let's say, you know, Monday afternoon after the Edom came in, or at some point he gave all his nechasim away, then this object would. Just one second, I just want to get the time framework here. Just give me a second to get the mathematics. If, according to the Rashba, by reiterating his hodah after the Edom, he now is giving a gift, correct? So that, and the question is, oh, but in the interim, before this happened, he gave away all his nechasim to Levi. So this object cannot be, Reuven doesn't have ownership rights to give away this object to Levi. It cannot be included in the gift to Levi. Why? Because he gave it away to whom? He gave it away to Shimon, according to the Rashba. I just have to get the time frame. Just give me 1 minute. He says the following: the Afal Pichen Kevin Shahoda Shachivet Shaych LeShimon Vuadayin Omed V'Diburo. Is therefore, according to the Rashba's logic, it should be what? A matana. Well, he doesn't have the authority to give it away as a matana. Whereas according to the Rashbates, since lo yecholim ha'edim lakhisho, the Rashbates is operating with a different set of rules, and according to the Rashbates, it's not that the modeh, we'll call it Reuven, by reiterating his hodah, right, by standing behind his hodah again, is giving a matana, but rather it's just strengthening the hodah, and the Edom cannot be machish hodah. Therefore, we believe that what? Al kein nomar shodas piv adifa mi Edom, which would mean what? Let me just get the mathematics here. That if we assume that the object, just one second, if he's giving away a matana, just read it one more time, sorry. He says the following: Idufi divrei edim shachevitz tamid hayeshel Reuven is zacha bo Levi hamakabel matana. Oh, so if we would say that what? That when the Edom testify, no, that this object in fact belongs to Reuven, it always belonged to Reuven, and therefore when Reuven gives away all his nechasim, this object is not included in that sale. Just one second. This object is not included in the sale. Why? Because fundamentally we believe the Edom. And what makes Odas Piv in this case greater than Edom is only me din matana. That's how the Rashba learns it, right? So if it's midin matana, then what we're going to say is that this matana to Levi could not include this object because he already gave it away to Shimon. Says the Rashbeis, no. Then in this case, we're not going to believe the Eidim that the object belongs to Shimon. We're going to believe Hodas Piv, and therefore the object is included in the sale. Right? Because according to Rash Beitz's language, Kevin Shadayin Omid Vidiburo, so who's believed? Which is greater, Hodas Baldin or Eidim? According to Rash Beitz, Hodas Piv is greater, right? It's not this new din of matana the way the Rashba understands it. Therefore, kevet shadayin omed b'diburo v'lo yicholim ha'edim lakhisho, and therefore das piv is greater than edim. In that case, then it's not like the way the Rashba would say that this object is not included in the matana, right? Because he already gave it away to Shimon. Then that's not the issue. The issue is, do we believe that the object belongs to Reuven, or do we believe the Hodas Baldin of Reuven, that the object belongs to whom?
Shimon.
To Shimon. Or do we believe the Edim that the object belongs to Reuven? So according to Rash Beitz, when he's Omid B'diburo, then we have a clear-cut proof that Hodas Piv is greater than Eidim. Why? Because we're not operating Midin Matana, but rather Midin Hodas Piv. So if the Hodas Piv is believed, then we believe the object belongs to Shimon, whereas according to the Rashba, basically we should believe the Eidim. Ella what? If he's Omed Vodas Piv, it's only Midin Matana, so then we have to know at what point did he give away these nechassim? So let's say, for example, he writes all his nechassim to Levi on the afternoon of Monday, meaning after the Edom come in, and then on Tuesday he reiterates his Hodas Baldin. So on Tuesday, basically, when he reiterates his Hodas Baldin, according to the Rashba, he's giving away a matana. Can he give it away as matana? The answer is no. Why? Because he already gave it to Levi. So the matana to Shimon is an invalid matana. Right? He says the following. Yesh nafkamina b'mikresha Reuven hoda shachevetz ploni sheyach l'Shimon. So that's time T1. Ha'edim me'idim she'ein zenoch l'chevetz shayach l'Reuven. V'yachkach nosan Reuven is kol nechosuv b'matana l'Levi. So would that object be included in the matana? Then the answer is we believe the Edim. And therefore, if we believe the Edim, it actually belongs to Reuven. If it belongs to Reuven, then the matana should include that object as well. The next day, on Tuesday morning, he reiterates that this object could not be included in the matana because it belongs to Shimon. That's only a matana, according to the Rashba. Correct? So based on his testimony, I'm sorry, if his reiteration of his original hodah that this object belonged to Shimon, it should not belong to Levi. But if we assume, like the Rashba, that basically he's not believed against the Edom, he's only giving it mikach matana, so then in this case where he already gave it away to Levi before he reiterated his Hodas Piv, then it's impossible for him to give away this object because based on his Hodas Piv, based on the Edim, together with the document that he signed, he already gave this object away to Levi. Mashenkin, if you go with the Rash Beitz, then the Rash Beitz is saying that Hodas Bal Div is greater than Edim, even in the case where he reiterates his Hodah subsequent to the Eidus, and therefore we don't believe that this object belongs to Shimon, hence the sale, or I should say the gift, of all his objects to Levi includes this object as well. Okay. So at this point, the Gemara has completely rejected the Kal v'Chomer of Rabbi Chia. Why? Because I'll prove to you that Piv is even greater than Edim in the case of Hakrasha v'Hazam, that we believe him and not the Edim. Elos, and now the Gemara backtracks and reformulates the Kal v'Chomer of Rabbi Chia. Me'ed echad. Ma'ed echad she'ein mechayvo mamon mechayvo shvua. Edim she'mechayvin also mamon ein odin she'mechayvin also shvua. If the edus of one test of one witness is powerful enough to be mechayv shvua, then how much more so two edim could be mechayv shvua? Because in the case of shvua se'ed echad, we have a testimony of one aid which would not be believed for mamon. So certainly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the power of two aidim is that much greater than that of one aid. But nevertheless, as far as shvuah is concerned, one aid is mechayv shvuah. The Torah says so. And if that be the case, then how much more such two aidim should be mechayv shvuah? Now this is a little bit odd. I'll tell you why. Because when we say that aid echad is mechayv shvuah, what we're saying is that the Eid Echad supports the claim of the claimant, right, of the Tovea. What do we call him? The plaintiff in fancy English, right? That makes the Tviya of the Tovea to a Tviya Chashuva, enough to be Mechai V'Shvua. Now keep in mind, the Nidva, the defendant, is denying the whole claim in the case of Eid Echad. So he's going to have to take a Shvua on the entire claim. In the case of Eidus, it's a little bit different. The Eidim are testifying on 50 out of the 100. On that 50, Enoch Inami, they believed, and he has to pay. Now you want to tell me that there's a halacha that the Eidim have to be Mechayiv Shvua on the other 50. How do you derive that from Eid Echad? Eid Echad is making the Tviya of the Tovea into an Emes Dika Tviya. Again, we don't know for sure because there's only one Eid, and the Torah did not validate one Eid. But at least there's enough evidence here to be mechayv the nitba eshvua. In the case of modem mitzvahs, it's a little bit more complicated. It's a bit more subtle. Because in the case of modem mitzvahs, what we want to say is that since the Eidim testifying half the claim, he has to take a shvua the other half of the claim. But apparently, what the Gemara is doing here is it's operating midin taina chashuva, since the Tovea claimed 100, and you know, ostensibly, what does that tefillah mean? If it has no support whatsoever, then the whole story is bottom milibo. You know, it's above my that he created. There's no din of a tefillah mechayev shvuah. But now that the Edom at least testified on half of his claim, we know for sure that he barred 50. We don't know anything about the other 50. That lends grounds for support to the tefillah satoveya. And just like in Eid Echad, the Eidus of Eid Echad lends ground to support and strengthen the Tviya Satoveh to Mechayev the Nitba Shvua, so too in the case of Hadas Eidim. So again, there is a difference between the two cases, and the Gemara now is going to try to analyze and sort of, you know, with a razor sharp knife, cut the subtle difference between the two cases. And the difference between the two cases is obvious because the Eid Echad is going to be Mechayev Shvuah to be Machish the Eid Echad. In the case of two Eidim, the Shvuah is not going to be Machish the two Eidim. You know what I mean? There's a tug of war here, Rabbi Say. How do you understand the purpose of the Shvuah? Yesh Lachkar. One way of understanding the Shvuah is that the Shvuah is there to be Machish the evidence, to contradict the evidence. You have evidence against you, it's not sufficient to be mechayev you. Take a shvuah against that evidence. If that be the case, then Rav Chiya has no leg to stand on. Because in the case of Eid Echad, I understand the purpose of the shvuah is to be machish the testimony of the Eid Echad. Mashen came in the case of Rabbi Chiya, Adarabba, the shvuah is coming to limit the Eidus and not to contradict the Eidus. The purpose of the shvuah is to believe the nitba, that he's not chayev an additional 50, which he denies. There's another way of understanding Shvuah, and that is through Taina Chashuva. And that means that if we could lend some objective support and evidence to the Tainas of the Tovea, then the Nitba is in a very weak position. You know, Yodala Tachtona, he's down, down, down. and he has to bring himself up, so to speak, with a shvuah. Then this Kavul Chomer makes sense, because just like an Eid Echad, that's enough of a support for the claim of the Toveya to be Mechayev the Nitba Shvuah. He's down, he's the Yodo Alatav Tonus. So too, when the two Eidim testify on behalf of the Toveya on 50% of the claim, that lends a certain credence and a credibility to the Tviyas HaToveya, such as has to be Machish with the Shvuah. But the Gemara now is not going to be happy with that. Mali Eid Echad Shekeno Mashu Hu Meid Hu Nishba. The Shvuah is to be Machish the Eid Echad. And here we turn to the Avdalad Amunav. Tomar v'Eidim Sha'al Masha Kofar Hu Nishba. The Eidim are going to be Mechayev Shvuah on the other 50 through the principle of Rabbi of Modu B'Mikse Sataina. That's not a Shvuah to be Machish the Eidim. On the contrary, there's a part in which he was kofar, and the Eidim have nothing to say about that part in which he's kofar. Now you're being Mechayev him a Shvuah on that 50% that he denied. Well, the Eidim have nothing to say about that 50%. That's not similar at all, comparable to the case of Eid Echad. El Amar Rav Papa, we have to reformulate the Kal V'Chomer of Rav Chia a third time around. Let's just go through them. The first Kal V'Chomer, the first formulation of the Kal V'Chomer of Rav Chia was from Knas, that Piv is not Mechayev. I'm sorry, let's start again. The first formulation of the Kal V'Chomer of Rav Chia was from Piv, that Piv is not Mechayev Knas, and Eidim are Mechayev Knas. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara rejects that because of the Pircha, that Piv is greater than Ha'adus Eidim as far as Hakasha be'Hazama. That leads us to the second formulation, that the Kal V'Chomer was from Eid Echad. And if Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvuah, Eid Echad can never be Mechayev Momen, how much more so that Eidim, two Eidim could be Mechayev Shvuah? Because they can be Mechayev Momen. The Gemara rejects that because you're deriving from Eid Echad a new kind of a Shvuah. That's not the Shvuah of Eid Echad. The Shvuah of Eid Echad is to be Makish the Eidus. Now we get to formulation number three of the Kal V'Chomer, Elo Amar Rav Papa Osi Migilgal Shvuah the Eid Echad. So let's say a person was Tovea Mama, and the other person, the Nitba, was Kofra Koli. There's no Chiyuv Shvuah in this case. Now we have a second claim, and on the second claim, which is the same Toveya against the same Nitba, the Toveya brings an Eid Echad to support his claim. Now the Nitba has to take a Shvuah's Eid Echad. And that's called Gilgul Shvuah. Now at this point, the Toveya could be Magalgil Shvuah on his original Tviya. In other words, even though on the original Tviya the Nitba was Kofra Kol, but now that he was caught in a claim in which there was Eid Echad to be Mechayev Meshvuah, then once the Toveya has a Tviya with an Eid Echad supporting him that's Mechayev Meshvuah, he now could be Mechayev Meshvuah on a Tviya of Kofra Kol. And now we're going to learn a Kal V'Chomer that Eid Echad is certainly inferior to Shnei Eidim, right? Because Eid Echad can't be Mechayev Mamu, whereas two Eidim can. And yet Eid Echad could be Mechayev a Shvuah on something that the Eid Echad didn't even testify about. In other words, the Gilgul Shvuah, the original Tviya, is not to be Machish the Eid Echad. The Eid Echad knows nothing about the original Tviya. Then how much more so in the case of Eidim that they could be Mechayev Mama, and how much more so that they could be Mechayev a Shvuah of Modu B'Miktas, even though the Shvuah is not to be Machish the Eid Echad. It's not Al Masha He'idu Shu Nishba, but rather Al Masha Lo He'idu, but rather Masha Kofaru Nishba. Now, basically, I would present the following thesis, that Rav Papa is not a third formulation of the Kal V'Chomer of Rav Chia, but rather he's plugging up the Pircha on the Kal V'Chomer. The Pircha on the Kal V'Chomer was that in Eid Echad the Shvuah is the result, is the substance of the Shvuah, the purpose of the power of the Shvuah is to be Machish the Eid Echad. Now he's coming up with the case of Eid Echad, where Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvuah, and yet the Shvuah is not to be Machish the Eid Echad, because on the other Tviya the Eidim know nothing. And now we get back to the Kal V'Chomer, that if one Eid can be Mechayev Shvuah, how much more so two Eidim can be Mechayev Shvuah. The only problem that we have here is how does Gilgul Shvuah operate? There are two ways of understanding Gilgul Shvuah. One way of understanding Gilgul Shvuah is that the Eid himself is Machayev the Shvuah. In other words, the Eid is Machayev the Shvuah not just on this Tvi'ah, which the Eid knows a lot about, but he could be Machayev the Shvuah even on a Tvi'ah that he knows nothing about. The other way of learning Gilgul Shvuah, it's a Din in the Tovea, that the Tovea's rights to, once the Tovea has a Tvi'as HaShvuah against this Nitba, that Tvi'as HaShvuah now, how shall I say, expands or spreads to include any Tvi'ah.
So it's his prerogative, not that he's expanding the Eidus.
Correct, so you can't learn anything about Shvuah from Eid Echad. The Gilgul Shvuah of Eid Echad is not Allah in the power of the Eid Echad, so that you can say, well, the power of two Eidim is even greater. It's Allah in Hilchus Gilgul Shvuah, meaning that once the Tovea has a Tvi'ah, which is Mechayev Shvuah, then we give the Tovea, you know, carte blanche, you know, powers to be Mechayev Shvuah, even where he has no support for his claim. So that's what I think the Gemara is now rejecting Rav Popa. And the Gemara says the following. Mala Gilgul Shvuah de'ed Echad. What does this have to do with Gilgul Shvuah in the case of Shekain Shvuah Gorer Shvuah? It's not the pshat that the Eid Echad is Gorer the second Shvuah. He knows nothing about the other clan. But rather, one Shvuah is Goreres, another Shvuah. What does that have to do with Rabbi Chiya? Rabbi Chiya's case is that there's no other Shvuah. He's creating a Shvuah. You know, if I could use biblical Genesis terms, Yesh Me'ayin, he's starting with a new Chiddush Shvuah.
Not like the way you said.
That
it's the Teveya. What you're saying over here is that the obligation of the Shvuah causes a Shvuah. Not that it gives the Teveya the right to ask him. Just that the Shvuah is kind of goyel the Shvuah. Right.
Words, so. But I'm having trouble with this concept of the Shvuah is Gorer Shvuah. You know, the Shvuah is not an entity, you know, it's not a live being that it could...
Right, so you bring the Amdut that is right.
Right. Because my thesis throughout Bav Metzia, again, I'm not saying I have rise with this, but just intuitively, is that a Chiyuv Shvuah is a result of a certain quality or, you know, on the Richter scale of a Tvi'ah. You know, the Tvi'ah has to have some sort of Chashivas to it. Take a look for a moment.
With an aid doing it either. If the aid is made, it's not the aid is made. It's true. The aid empowers the Tovea.
Correct.
The
Tovea, it's just a support for that Tovea that now the Tovea, at least in his relationship, he can demand the Shvuah.
Right.
Now, again, we didn't get up to this Tosis yet, but if you just, you know, if we cheat a little bit and fast forward, take a look at Tosis Dima Maskel Atzada Shoveh, which hopefully we'll get up to soon. And there you'll see that Tosis actually formulates this phrase, Tvi'a Chashuva. Well, he calls it actually a Taina Chashuva, but Taina and Tvi'a are identical. Do you see that?
Yeah.
That's fourth line in Tosis. Again, I'm taking, you know, it's not fair that I'm pulling out three words from a Tosis out of context. Hopefully, even when we see the whole sugi with the context and this Tosis in its context, you'll still agree that those three words mean exactly what I'm telling you that now, and that is Yesh Taina Chashuva. And Tosis is going to take this concept of the Taina Chashuva from A to Z, you know, the whole 9 yards, and he's going to say that Taina Chashuva means that a Shvuah is always a result of a Taina Chashuva. So, for example, if you are Kofra Kol against my Taina, then my Taina is not a Taina Chashuva. What support do I have to a Taina? I can tap any person on the shoulders in the street, schlep them into Beis Din with a Taina and say he owes me $1 million. That's not a Taina Chashuva. So therefore Kofra Kol is not Chayav Shvua. But if we know that there's something here, you know, there's something going on, Yesh Dvarim Bego, he's not just tapping a guy on the shoulder and schlepping him into Beis Din. Like, for example, in the case of Modu Bemiktas, or in a case where the aid, one witness, supports the claim of the Tovea, that Taina becomes a Taina Chashuva, and therefore we begin to suspect that when the Nitba denies that claim, maybe he's lying, and he better really put himself to the test and see if he's willing to go a step further and to take a Shvua to support his claim. Now, at this point, if our calculation is correct, we do not have a valid kal v'chomer for Reb Chiya. Very sad. We've rejected every single formulation with a pircha. And even that last very sharp move of Reb Papa, where we have eid echad to be mechayev one shvua, and then we megalgal a shvua, even that was rejected because shvua gorer a shvua. So basically, we're left with absolutely no proof for Reb Chiya. And here's where the Gemara is going to apply the logic, which is always a challenge to go through this, which is called a tzad ha-shaveh. That means if one proof or one kal v'chomer is not sufficient, then we'll join forces in such a way that every time you raise a pircha, I'm going to send you to the other way, to the other side. And you're always going to end up with some sort of a tzad ha-shaveh. So, for example, if you're going to shlug up Gilgal Shvua by saying that it's a case of Shvua Gorer Shvua, I'm going to go back to the case of Piv Yochiyach, because in the case of Piv, we have a Hakchosha against Piv. And if you're going to shlug up Piv because you're going to say we have the case of Hakchosha and Azama, then I'm going to quote the case of Eid Echad. And that's going to go back and forth. So, B'li Neder, we'll pick this up tomorrow. I just have an exciting essay in Chuli that I want to study with you today. So let's put the Bar Metzia for a time being on the